The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Trying to get our arms around this parable is always interesting. On the one hand, it is a parable. So the whole idea behind parables is there's a certain amount that you take and a certain amount that you kind of leave behind, in the sense that it's an analogy, and analogies only go so far. So it's not like absolutely 100% of the detail is this the way things work. And Christ pretty much summarizes it himself at the end. He says, the point of the story is this: stay awake because you do not know the day or the hour. That's the point that he's trying to make. Okay. So it's interesting because in the time of Jesus, apparently this would have been what would have happened. Wedding feasts were considered to be, that was like the big celebration. If you're living in small town Israel in the times of Jesus, there really was not a whole lot of celebration to be had outside of weddings. And I don't know, probably they had their bar mitzvahs or something analogous back then. But it was a hard life. They were a poor country, they were small, a desert, and whatnot. And the wedding feast, depending on how much money you had, the wedding feast could last a week. So it was a big deal. That's why in the other story, the wedding of Cana, when the wine runs out, it's a tragedy because they've got to keep these people entertained for a couple of days at least. And they already ran out of wine. They're like, okay, this is awkward. So during this time, it was customary that they would have had the young girls out there with their lamps, right? And the whole idea is, do we have enough oil? Now the question is, what is oil in this parable? What is oil? And because it sounds kind of weird, the idea of, okay, you've got these girls here, the wise ones have oil, they have extra oil, and then the other ones don't. But you would kind of think, you know, in a real life situation, they could have waited until they saw the bridegroom right around the corner and then all kind of, you know, do the quick light up and everyone's ready to go. And that's why I began by saying analogies are good in as much as, you know, don't take them too literally. I want to posit this. Normally I would say oil is God's grace, sanctifying grace in the heart. But I think something easier to understand might be this. Because we can think along the lines of, okay, well, if I go to confession, I get into grace. I can do that last minute jump into the state of grace. And it's true, and you can be saved as long as you're in the state of grace. You know, it could be the last, like my dad, last 30 seconds of his life, I gave him the anointing, you know, instant redemption. I'm sure, you know, good guy and all, but he'd been away from the church for a long time. But let's look at it this way. What if the oil is love? I think that's something we understand better. Love is not something that you can just suddenly fabricate. If you are a loving person, you can't just suddenly turn the corner out of some, you know, if you spend your entire life being selfish, it's not like, barring a miracle, because with God's grace, of course, he can zap us at any given moment and give us extraordinary graces. But under ordinary circumstances, if you choose to live your life in a selfish manner, it's not very likely that all of a sudden one day you're just going to wake up and suddenly decide, you know what? I'm going to start loving. Why? Because loving implies dying to myself. It implies seeking the theological definition would be to seek the good or the well-being of the other person for their own sake. And that implies being willing to sacrifice myself. You know, it's not the same thing as being enamored, for example. We hear about love at first sight, which is basically being enamored. That's not, that can happen automatically. You can be in the supermarket and look across and see somebody and just go, wow. Or you can be in an event and be enamored immediately and just see there's something beautiful there. But that's not yet love. Love implies being willing to do the hard things. Love is what you do when your children cause any one of the millions of headaches and heartaches that your children cause you. Okay? That is love. Love is when your spouse requires you to sacrifice yourself. When you have to find those little or great ways to die to yourself in order to love your spouse. Love is when, love when it's a guarantee that it's truly love, as Mother Teresa says, we don't know if it's love until it hurts, okay? It can be something else. It can be an emotion, it can be anything else. But when you're willing to do something and it hurts, I'm willing to do this and it's not easy and I have to make a deliberate choice to do this out of love, then you can be guaranteed. That's charity. And this is what I think Christ is getting at in this parable. The wise virgins are the ones that lived a life of charity and therefore they had a reserve. Therefore, it was co-natural to them to be able, when things dragged on and when life gets hard and whatnot, they had a storehouse of charity because it was a lifestyle that they lived. Okay? And if we are not living that life of theological charity, of love, then it's not something we can just turn on when the critical moment comes. Oh, I just got in a car wreck. I've got 5 minutes left to live. You're probably not suddenly going to, even in the critical moment facing your ultimate demise, you're probably not going to become suddenly a loving person in that moment. You're going to be thinking about yourself, naturally, but you're going to be thinking about yourself. So love is something that needs to be exercised day in and day out. And that is how we get that reserved store of oil that Jesus talks about. So let us learn from the wise virgins and let us start putting love into practice right here and right now so that there are no unpleasant surprises and the bridegroom doesn't lock us out and say, sorry, I don't even know who you are. Father and Son, the Holy Spirit.